Okay, good morning, members of the commission, staff, ladies and gentlemen. Planning commission is now in session. Let's see, I'll skip some of this because we can. There's a few rules that we'd like everyone to follow for today's hearing. First, everyone will be given an opportunity to be heard. When it is your turn to speak, please come to the podium and state your name and address clearly for the record. Those in favor will speak first, then those opposed will be given the opportunity to speak. Afterwards, there will be time for rebuttal, and if necessary, we would have surrebuttal after that. We ask that you limit your presentation or testimony to 5 minutes or less. After all the speakers have been heard, the hearing will be closed. At that point, additional comments from the public will not be allowed unless one of the commissioners asks that the hearing be reopened. Then the commissioners will discuss the application, make motions, and vote to reach a decision. If you're not satisfied with the commission's decision, you may be able to appeal it to the Board of Supervisors. Appeals must be filed within a specified period of time after today's hearing, and you can check with staff for the procedures to follow in filing your appeal. Please make sure your mobile phones and pagers are on mute. Thank you. Commissioner Hill, will you lead us in the flag salute, please?
Salute. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. May we have roll call?
Here. Commissioner Carver?
Here.
Commissioner Chata?
Here.
Commissioner Yule?
Here.
Commissioner Wolf?
Here.
Commissioner Zante?
Here.
Vice Chair Hill?
Here.
Chairman Ebrahimian?
Here. Okay, the first item on the agenda after roll call is the consent agenda. There are no consent agenda items for this hearing. The next agenda item is public presentations. This portion is reserved for persons desiring to address the Planning Commission on any matter within our jurisdiction, but not on this agenda. Is there anyone in the public that wishes to address the Planning Commission? If not, we'll go to item number two.
Regular agenda item number two, unclassified conditional use permit application number 3749 and initial study number 8281 filed by Jerry Berlin, proposing to allow a solid waste processing facility for recycling of well drilling mud on portions of a 5.16 acre parcel and a contiguous 12.44 acre parcel in the AL20 zone district. The subject parcels are located on the north side of Kings Canyon State Route 180, 100 feet east of North Valentine Avenue. Inside the city of Fresno lies north of the subject site.
Right now, I'll do my presentation from here.
Okay. Oh, perfect.
So the purpose of this facility, this project, is that the applicant wishes to recycle non-contaminated slurry, if you will. They want to separate the slurry into water and soil to be used for recycling purposes. Benefits would be the reduced water consumption to the community. The site itself will only be using non-contaminated spoils. The parcel is located immediately south of the city of Fresno, within their sphere of influence. The parcel is currently zoned limited ag. So limited ag normally means that there's an underlying land use designation, which means that it's designated as M1, limited industrial, which is sufficient for this project and question. As you can see here, the project site is currently vacant. They currently have access at this road easement here. They currently have road access to from Valentine, adjacent to this. The roads department, this project was routed for comments for the city of Fresno and the county. The city of Fresno transportation division did not have any concerns. Normally, a traffic study would be required if there is 110 trips per day. This did not exceed that, therefore a traffic study was not warranted. The roads department reviewed the project. The roads are currently adequate. However, they have, as a condition of approval, an irrevocable offer of dedication for 22 feet to make it a collector road. As mentioned before, currently vacant. So you can see the project site itself. The applicant typically would have storage containers, water tanks, and adjacent to the site, storage bins with a restroom facility. You can see the storage bins are typical in nature, roughly 10 feet in height, to store the water and to store the materials. Office space. The office space will be used, there will be used a well and septic system. As the normally, if they're in the sphere of influence, we have to refer to the city to see whether or not they want to do a will serve letter. At this time, there's no capacity for them. So wells and septic are sufficient. You see here, relatively vacant. The site is adequate and safe in size. There's no issues with roads, as mentioned earlier. Here's access from here. The City of Fresno did comment. There were three comment letters from them. The first comment from the Transportation Division stated that there was no comment. Second comment from them was that they wanted to have them to provide sidewalk, curb, and gutter. As you can see, they only have this portion. Therefore, staff believed that there was insufficient reasoning for them to require this, for this to be a requirement. The roads, as you see, are in good condition. Five findings need to be made. Staff was able to make all five findings, as mentioned, as demonstrated in the staff report. If you have any further questions, I'm here to answer them at the time. If you have further questions concerning the operational statement, the applicant can be best to answer any questions you may have concerning that.
Thank you, Elliot. I had a couple questions. Where is the slurry coming from?
The applicant can best search, but I believe it's in the area in Fresno City, in the City of Fresno area.
Okay.
It's locally sourced.
Are there other sites they handle?
The applicant can best answer that question for you.
Well, do you know of any that have been approved before?
I currently do not. I believe this is the first I've heard of a mud recycling facility.
Okay. The other question has to do with the road. I know,
of course,
studies. There was no study because it's less than the 110 trips, but there was a letter from a neighbor saying that West Nielsen is narrow and questioning about North Valentine. So there aren't that many trips on that road to begin with.
That's correct.
But you are adding quite a few truck trips. I mean, it is a percentage.
Mm-hmm.
So while you say that they are, one of the conditions is that they dedicate 22 feet.
Every walk will offer a dedication for 22 feet.
Is that for road improvements, or is that just something that's just going
to
sit
on? It's just to comply with the road designation. Because it's a collector, it needs to have a certain road width.
Okay. Now, looking at that picture, what road is that?
This is Valentine.
Okay.
You can see this is the project site itself.
Is there a striped line going down Valentine?
There is not.
Okay, and is that an issue? I mean, having now trucks go down that road where before there were no trucks going down that road, don't you think it'd be good to have some type of line for traffic, or is the road not wide enough to have a line down the middle?
I believe the road is currently wide enough for a strip, but in order for one of the roads, one of the conditions for the roads department is that section that they own need to be irrevocably offered. We can't expand the road itself on all Valentine Avenue because they don't have frontage and they don't own those portions of land. So having the roads department, if the roads department requires the entire frontage be given, it would be what's called a taking.
Okay. But going back to striping the road, is that possible?
The striping and maintenance of the road gets into a lot of subjects that are operational in nature for building maintenance. The county has limited resources, obviously, and they stripe when the traffic counts warrant, et cetera, because maintaining those striping is not negligible cost. It's real cost. And so that's something that they have to make that determination. But it wouldn't be a condition that would be levied on the adjacent property owners. That's an operational cost that's borne by the county. And so they make those decisions based upon their operational guidelines. But as, in terms of the project, it's not like they need to come back and make an improvement. And again, they, we'd have a question about whether or not that was proportionate to their project, given their limited, very limited frontage on the, onto the street.
Well, I guess my concern just goes back to the fact that you're going to have trucks on that road,
mm-hmm.
and especially during foggy weather, because this they don't limit the hours of operation. In fact, they say that while they just have Monday through Friday, they may do it on weekends as well as needed. So I imagine it could be year-round. And so I'm wondering, with foggy conditions, you have people that live there, trucks on the road. Yeah, you depend on that line in the middle to keep safe.
Again, that's an operational issue that's throughout the county, and you know the road maintenance division looks at those things and makes the appropriate decision. It's really not a land use issue. It's not an environmental issue. The project isn't causing those things. Yes, there's trucks. It's designated as a collector, so it's an appropriate use. The general plan foresaw that type of use. And so in terms of land use, the striping issue is sort of separate. It is an operational thing. It is probably a valid point, but it's not one that would be appropriate for us to levy a mitigation or a condition of approval to.
Do you think that's something the roads department would look at?
Sure, we can most certainly advise them that they should look at it. We're glad to do that. Yeah.
I don't know what their process is or criteria, but I think
we'd have to ask them. I wouldn't know, but
I think it should be something they should look at,
yeah.
considering the traffic you're going to have. Mm-hmm. Any other questions of staff?
I have a question. I'm curious. I don't know if it's worth asking or not, but it's for staff. In the last year, I have witnessed lots of wells drilling around me, my property, and stuff. And that mud that comes out of there, they just leave there. They just spread on the. Why does it need to be recycled and bring it to there? And where is it coming from?
If it wasn't recycled, it would be going to landfill. So this the main operation is to reduce waste and to be sent to landfill and to be used for recycling purposes.
So it'll be enforced now? It has not been enforced before?
I'm not sure of your question. So you're saying for construction?
My question is, I just want to know, my mm-hmm. question is, there are lots of wells drilled last year
mm-hmm.
there was because of drought. And that mud we are talking about, I think we are talking about the same mud.
Mm-hmm.
It comes out there, they make a pile, then they scrape it down over there into the vineyard rose or almond rose. That's what I have witnessed in the last year.
I think we should ask the applicant.
Yeah, something like that. I just want to know.
It goes mm-hmm. to where this slurry is coming from.
Because there are hundreds of wells that have been drilled and are being drilled right now
mm-hmm.
in the ranches. And the well drilling company, they just scrape it around yeah. and leave it there.
Commissioner Wolf?
My question is also about the roads. And your parameter is 100 trips per day. You don't do a study, but they've asked for an allowance of a maximum of 70 deliveries. It could go that big if they're successful. 70 deliveries a day to me means 70 trucks coming in and 70 trucks going out. And 70 trucks going in and 70 trucks going out is an awful lot of traffic at the corner of Valentine. Big trucks coming out that have to turn onto Valentine to get out, and a big line of trucks coming in, parked, trying to get in. This may be a question for the applicant, but there's an awful lot of property there. It almost seems like there should be a wait area someplace on the property for these lines of trucks. We have a processing plant that has 2 miles of trucks in lines to get in. at it during the season, and I'm just, you know, this could end up being that, mm-hmm. where trucks are idle going up Valentine waiting for their turn or waiting for all the trucks to exit. And how does the county handle that issue of possibly 70 deliveries?
So I mentioned before, we take in consideration there's a certain nexus, and so we look at it, if it exceeds a threshold, 110 trips per day, we would take it into consideration. And what they do now is they'll do a traffic management plan if it's below the 110 trips threshold.
So 110 trips is to and from?
Correct, the round trips.
Okay, I'm sorry.
If I might interject, just to be clear, the 110 is only one of the criteria they use. That is the threshold that OPR suggests we use for VMT analysis. There are other considerations when they make those things. That's a more complex evaluation that transportation planning looks at. So the 110 is just one of the indicators. So I don't want to overstate the issue, but I don't want you to later think that something didn't trigger the 110, then why are you doing an analysis? There are other things that go into that decision. That's why the project is routed through the transportation planning and road maintenance and operations, so they can look at those various factors and determine if it warrants doing a traffic impact study. But the 110 is an analysis, is sort of a threshold for, it's sort of, you know, at that level that you're not going to have VMT to look at, and that usually is is similar to the same impacts that you have that you would study in your TIS. They are, though, very different types of analysis.
Okay, and my next question is very similar. We're going to end up with a parcel that's filled with mounds and mounds of dirt. Maybe there's a market for people coming in and picking up their recycled dirt. I mean, are these people, this is possibly a question for the applicant, people are bringing it in, are they also taking out the exact same amount of dirt that they bring in? Or is this going to be a piece of property with mountains of dirt on it?
Excellent question to ask.
Mm-hmm. Any other questions? Mr. Carver?
I have a question. In regards to the noise that will be generated there, I was looking at the environmental impact. And on Exhibit 8, page 17, looks like there's copied and pasted language there,
mm-hmm.
About the mitigation measure for noise.
So they'll use the noise ordinance of the County of Fresno. They won't use.
But it looks like here it's referencing Miller, a project.
Yeah, that's an error, clerical error. But we're using the conditions of approval would be for project notes would be considered for noise. They have to adhere to the noise ordinance standards in the City of Fresno and County of Fresno.
But there's nothing in here about the noise that will be generated by the operations. It's all about the construction. So wondering if that was even looked at.
But it wasn't looked at in terms of a noise analysis, but it was, like I mentioned before, there's a threshold that they need to meet. It did not exceed. And so those are the requirements we have for them.
So who looked at that? Because the county report doesn't indicate that it was that even looked at the noise for the operation. That's why I'm wondering.
When we route it for comments for agencies, any agency can comment. Maybe perhaps the health department could comment, but they did not have any concerns for that. But based on the truck trips and based on the level of operation, we didn't warrant a noise study to be conducted. Just adherence to the noise ordinance standards of the County of Fresno.
Okay. So I'm wondering because all around there is single family property, and I'm wondering if the operations is going to be an issue for the residents who are currently living there. So that's where I'm getting at.
Okay.
Which I'll ask.
I have a question.
Commissioner Hill.
Elliot, could you tell me, regarding the road, I'm concerned about the first responders, whether we have, you know, fire, EMT, the emergency ambulance, and police. Will that be able to accommodate, because you have residences there as well, and so they're going to hope, but they, if they need first responders, will the trucks interfere? Kind of tell me how this would work if we had some emergencies, or even the site, the facility had a fire.
Mm-hmm. The project was routed to the Fresno Fire Department, and they didn't have any issues with that concern.
I saw they didn't have any, mm-hmm. you know, but I thought, do they dig down deep enough to realize how public safety could be endangered? I mean, my fact, because I have a family full of first responders, and so mm-hmm. everybody, you know, they take their jobs very seriously to protect and to serve. And so I just kind of was concerned how we would protect those residences there mm-hmm. in the building. So thank you.
You said it was the Fresno Fire Department?
That's correct. Fresno County Fire Department, I believe.
Would it be Cal Fire?
Or Cal Fire?
County. So who was it routed to?
Fresno County Fire Department, I believe.
Not North Central?
One of those agencies we routed to. I believe it's either them, Fresno County Fire. We typically Fresno County Fire, but it could be Fresno County North Central Fire Department.
Do you know for sure who
routed? Not right now, no. But they were routed, and there weren't any concerns. Or
you know if Cal Fire was, informed?
Cal Fire, all relevant agencies were informed, correct.
You just don't know which one, though.
That's correct.
Okay. Any other questions of staff? Okay, thank you, Elliot.
Thank you.
Would the applicant come forward? State your name and address for the record, if you would.
Hi, Jerry Berlin.
And your address, Mr. Berlin?
3096 West Belmont, Fresno, California.
Okay. Now, staff recommends approval with conditions, but you heard some of the questions and concerns we had. You want to make a presentation or address any of the questions that were raised, or do you want?
I don't really have a real presentation that I put together. I got in super late last night, but I've jotted down some of the things that's been brought up, and I can answer any questions to kind of help enlighten people on what we're really doing. We're obviously separating water from mud is basically what the process is.
Maybe let me go over a few of the questions and the rest of the commission can pick up if I miss some. Where's the slurry coming from? And getting to Commissioner Chata's question or comment, is it from like a private ag well, or is this a commercial operation where you see these small trailers that will use water and to drill holes or something?
That's probably 90% of it. On occasion, you would get somebody from a well driller that would have leftover mud from a well. When you mentioned about that they can back drag it in on site, that's really not true anymore. So the water board's requiring them to recycle it actually while they drill the well using the same equipment that we're going to use on this site. So they, by rights, are supposed to be up there with the recycling unit. And as they drill, they'll take the slurry through the recycler with dry dirt to the ground, and then they're reusing that water back in the same drill that they're using to drill the hole, and then they're required to take the solids that are left over away from the site. So what we're doing is the similar thing, except that, like you mentioned, the tanks that have mud in them are from, if you're directional drilling, putting in phone line, cable line, we use water and vacuum to pothole now existing utilities to dig a hole. So you're sucking basically the soil out and turning it into a mud or slurry instead of before a dirt that goes into a dump truck and to the landfill. So that's basically what we're trying to get dried up is the mud, because once it's been put into that state, it's not allowed to go to the landfill until it's at least 50% or less solid containment. So what we'll do is we'll separate it over the shakers, clarify and store the water, and then have the solids separate from that. So the solids are able to either be used as a backfill material, or it could go to a landfill without being too wet, as it would when it came in. the water, as they bring it in as mud, these are vac trailers most of the time that are doing the same type of work, pothoeing and needing water. So they would normally go to a fire hydrant to get water. We're going to give them water on site. So they're going to dump mud. There'll be stored water that's already been cleaned that they'll be able to take away when they leave. And those that are wanting to backfill potholes can take solids from the site to use.
And when you say those, would this be private individuals or government?
It could be both. For the most part, it's mostly private contractors that are doing work for, you know, AT&T, Comcast, that are drilling directional bores to install conduits. It's usually where you get your slurry, because they're drilling with water, and the water's coming out of the hole. They're using those tanks and with a vacuum hose and vacuuming the mud up.
So the slurry comes into your place, and dirt can go out. Would that be accurate?
If they want dirt to backfill, we're going to have dirt in a state that's legal to backfill.
Okay. Do you see that happening where it might be about the same amounts, or will you eventually have a large mountain there of dirt that nobody wants?
Well, I wouldn't call it a large mountain just because we're...
No, I don't mean...
Literally. If nobody wanted it and we wanted to leave it there, it would be left there, but the plan was to get rid of it. We're trying to kind of recycle something that needs to be recycled. And then the product that we have after it's recycled will stop a person from going to use city water from a fire hydrant. We got a water problem already. They're already digging a hole that needs to be backfilled, and typically they're going to the quarry and getting sand and gravel to fill up the hole, depleting the gravel pit. So we're stopping that by making this material clean enough, tested to know of non-contaminants, that they can reuse to put back instead of go to the quarry and get rock and sand.
One of the other questions, are there other sites in the county that you know of that do this?
No. Yeah, most people are kind of just not doing what you call the right thing, I guess.
Okay, and then you have any concerns about the road? You heard what we
were saying. I don't have any concerns really about Valentine myself, but, you know, Nielsen's pretty rough coming down as it is now, and it has been for quite a few years. As I've come down it in the past, you're wondering if it's going to be a county upgrade or when do they maintain it in any different than state that it is. We're not going to have a lot of traffic, but it's a bumpy road. As far as Nielsen goes, Valentine seems to be in pretty good shape. The corner that you turn in from Nielsen to Valentine is chopped up pretty good from some work that's been done over the years on replacing, or I don't know if it's replacing or what they're doing, but that PG&E's been doing some side of work to their gas line on that corner off and on for 4 or 5 years, and that's been kind of changing the asphalt structure. I don't know if they're done. For all I know, they could end up with a overlay for what patching they've been doing over the years might be temporary, but I don't know that.
Okay. Any other questions of the applicant? Commissioner Wolf?
Mr. Berlin, is this land, do you own this land, and how was it used before?
Well, we do own the land, and as far as I know, it was agriculture, and I believe it was grapes.
The picture makes it look like it was used as a motorcycle.
Well, that's what's been done with it. How I found that property owner is I knew a friend of mine that rode motorcycles, and him and one of the owner's sons built that track out there. And that's where they rode.
Okay,
through meeting him, through my brother and this guy, that guy, and we were looking for land for what we're doing, and that was right there by the freeway. It was a perfect spot, we thought. The zoning looked right, and just happened to be we met him that way. But it's not a professional racetrack. He just built that to ride in. They used to own the property on the other side of 180, so that parcel came all the way through from Whitesbridge, and then when the freeway was put in, it was an eminent domain, and somehow through Caltrans, they gave them the property back or sold it back.
Okay. So my earlier question was, the people that are bringing the slurry in, they are not required to come up and come back and pick up the product that's recycled?
We're not requiring it. We're definitely pushing it. On the situation that we have now, we're on our pricing for people that are coming in. We're going to try and come up with a different price for them. If they leave with what they came, they're paying less to have it recycled. So we're trying to push that, yes, they take as much back as we can get.
Okay, and the kind of trucks that are bringing it in, they don't have any water coming out of the bottom. Because it's really expensive to bring a load of water-drenched soil in any truck, any place.
I guess I don't follow.
But I'm just wondering, is it draining out of the bottom? Is the water draining?
No, they're vacuum tanks. So it's actually a full sealed vacuum.
Closed.
And that's how the water gets in it, by creating a vacuum in the tank, and then that hose from it can actually suck it into the tank. So no.
So no water. No, tank. Nobody would complain that there's mud all over Valentine.
No. That should have stopped a long time ago, but they shouldn't
okay.
be.
And the last question I asked was about the fact that it seems to me that you're going to end up with a lot of dirt on this property that's been recycled but not resold. And that, is there any kind of mitigation for what do we do with a piece of land that ends up with lots of dirt on it if you decide to resell it?
Like I said, we're trying to get rid of all of it that comes in by making it came out of the ground where it came from, and something has to go back into the ground where it was. And our goal is to advertise to hopefully more than just the customer, to counties, cities, that we're all going to the landfill, or not the landfill, we're all going to the quarry right now, getting rock and sand to backfill a hole. And then instead, we're taking this soil, because at this point, without doing what our company does, it's considered a waste, and we're taking it now to the landfill to fill the landfill up. So we're trying to stop the landfill from being filled. There's not a lot of them out there. We're trying to not deplete the quarry. We've already seen, you know, Fryant areas, quarry's been shut down, and quarries are moving to look for more area. So water is another shortage that we got, that we're going to be able to produce the water that stop. It's just, it's like a circle. They're going to come in, go out, come in, go out. If we go to what we're doing now with the typical ways most contractors do it, they're dumping it either wherever they want that they're not supposed to, or they're going to the landfill and filling it. Then they're going to the city or the county, getting a hydrant permit, getting water, and just doing the same thing over and over. And this is by the day, every single day that we're out there, water's being taken away, the quarry's being taken away, and the landfill's being filled up. So that's what we're trying to stop.
Okay. It just looks like this is becoming another landfill or dump site.
No, not a landfill.
Right in the middle of Fresno.
No. I mean, if we need to put a restriction on our permit to some kind of tonnage or yardage, I wouldn't have even an issue on that, because that's not what we're becoming, is a landfill. No. We're a transfer station in a sense. We're just doing the separation to get it to come back out.
But it's not likely that someone bringing in the slurry will be able to take out dirt with the same vehicle that they came in with. They'd have to make other arrangements, would you say?
That could be probably 50-50. Yeah. So, yeah, if that would be somebody else wanted it, then, yeah, you could end up with somebody else taking it out.
Okay.
Or our guys taking it out, you know, to another site.
Any other questions of the applicant?
My only question was in regards to the neighbors there and the kind of noise that it will produce. Well,
the noise, everything's electric.
Okay.
So we have, I don't know if you've seen, like for gold, you see the shaking machines, they shake. So the mud gets pumped with an electric submersible pump from a pit that they dump into over the top of a bunch of screens, and that's when the shaking process starts. The solids are falling off the screens into a containment, and the water's coming out the bottom, and it just has steps of finer screen, finer screen, finer screen, to the point where our water is clean enough to reuse. The sand content's down to you know, zero, basically. So noise-wise, the loudest thing that's coming in would be the truck that's probably going down the road.
Okay.
Any other questions?
Mr. Berlin, can that dirt be used as a, like fill-in dirt in the lower lots, like somebody wants to build a house, the low lot is lower. Can that dirt be used there?
Yeah.
So there'll be, okay. All right.
I wrote a couple notes while people were talking. So fire, first responders was part of it. Now, we have all kinds of water. That's what we're getting back out of the soil. I don't know, and I'm pretty sure that they don't have a water main in Valentine right now. I'm not 100% for fire hydrants. But we could even make access fire water available if that would help anything as far as first responders, because as we bring in the water, we can store it, and I could dedicate a storage tank for fire water and even set out a, I don't know exactly what they call the hydrants where they draw from, but a spot for fire to pull water to fill a water truck instead of using a public hydrant. The only other thing I thought about the first responders was, you know, the truck has to pull over. There's room for that. And then as far as a line that would be backed up, the entrance before you really come into the site is 95 feet long. And we can even extend a further spot in to make our gate further away from the street. So I know I got 95 feet, and I could probably get that to maybe even 150 feet. So we was to take the measurements of trucks, we could figure out how much in a line we'd have before we even was on the road and in the way for anybody.
Mr. Chair, I had just a quick question. Mr. Berlin, do you have experience doing this type of thing in other places, or do you have any other contracts in other counties or areas of the state doing this?
Not as an individual site. Nobody's really been doing this individually, so there's been a lot of, I don't know if you want to use the word illegal dumping, people are taking the wrong spots or they're filling landfills. What we do, though, is we're on a project right now in Lassen County. We'll recycle on site because it's too far to bring mud. If we're on a job even in Fresno where our company is drilling a large product where the diameter of the hole is large, we'll recycle there and not take it back and recycle it somewhere else because we've got some portable equipment. So we've been doing it for, you know, since early 2000s, but not in a facility for hire. Close to the same thing. The only difference that's going to be in this facility different than how we do it now, because I reuse the water and the water board allows us to do that under the conditions that we've proposed or set up. Now that we're going to be in a little different situation where somebody else is going to take the water other than our own employees to go back to the field, once we clear that water up, we're going to be tested now and we'll run it through a carbon filter. So it'll be actually clean enough for dust control. it's clean enough and allowable for non-edible vegetation. So you could water grass, plants, things like that. It'll be that level of cleanliness.
Commissioner Wolf?
So you're in the business of taking the portable recycling units over to sites where they need to deal with the slurry. And you're saying that there needs to be an option of another place, and you believe it's cheaper or it's going to make sense for people to actually come all the way to you, and you think they're going to do it.
Well, a lot of people have these drills or these vacuums, and they'll have one. You know, our company has 20 vacuums, 10 drills. A recycling unit, just a portable one, is $400,000 or $500,000, and these guys are out with drill rigs that cost $100,000, and they're making above average wages. But to go invest in a recycling system and then put a man on it or two men to operate it, it's a lot cheaper for them to be able to come and drop it off and have somebody else process it versus the expense it takes to do the recycling. And sometimes you can't recycle on site. Sometimes you have to go find a portable area to set up all the equipment to do it there, where you're doing one-day jobs or half-day jobs. Sometimes they just come and they vacuum out a small hole to look for a telephone line, and that's all they do. So now their tank's full of mud, and if they don't have a spot to do that, yeah.
Any other questions? Thank you, Mr. Berlin.
Thank you.
Is there anyone else here to speak in support of this application? Is there anyone here to speak in opposition to this application? Come forward.
Morning.
Morning.
My name is Richard Ciramelli. I'm 304 North Valentine, so I'm actually down on Valentine. So the concerns that I had with this going on is the traffic. So my background, I've been trucking my whole life. You know, we're a crane rental company. We have heavy equipment. We have large trucks. And knowing how to maneuver all that stuff with the road currently as it is, this would be a huge impact on that. I understand that, you know, they're saying about 70 trucks a day in and out. And if that's how it is that works, the problem that I see is there's these vacuum trucks coming in that probably weigh about 60 to 70,000 pounds when they're loaded. Those trucks coming down that road going in, they're not going to be taking the dirt back out. I don't know how a vacuum truck is going to go in there with like a slurry, dump it all, and then they're going to load it up with just dried dirt and take it back out. It doesn't seem feasible. So it sounds like there's going to be added trucks to this. Same thing with the water. So you're going to send vacuum truck in to do all that, and then if somebody wants water, they're going to send another water truck down that road, and then they're going to send a dump truck down that road to get the dirt. You know, the turns going, well, the Nielsen right now, the county just put a new double line going down the middle, which was great because now you can't cross over when you're riding on the edge of the road that's so bumpy that you feel like you're going to break your truck going down the road. And it goes in both directions. So you got Brawley and you've got Marks Avenue. Marks Avenue, they finally put the stoplight in, which has been a great improvement. They've kind of improved it a little bit down, farther down towards Marks Avenue. There was that new truck parking lot there that they did. I think they connected to the city and all that stuff. So there was that work. The road down there is a little bit better. But as you get past that, past the EOC bus yard and everything else, it gets pretty bad. And you can't ride on one side of the road or the other. You're riding down kind of almost towards the middle of the road to make that happen. When there's trucks on the road,